Don't be fooled by the bunny. I'm saying, if you don't take anything else from this morning, I want to make sure, don't be fooled by the bunny. Now, I know what you're thinking, but the bunny is awfully enticing and all. It promises a lot. But speaking from personal experience, because I got fooled by the bunny, it promises a lot, but it can't deliver. So don't be fooled by the bunny. I'll explain. So we have to go back quite a few years when I was just a little bitty guy. And at Easter time, when I was just a kid, my mother would always make up the Easter baskets on her own. And they were wonderful and they were great. But I'd always go through the store and I'd look longingly at those prepackaged ones. They always looked so large and seemed to be chock full of all kinds of neat things. Then you had the cellophane paper that was tied in a bow up at the top. And there was one year that this one basket really caught my eye. I don't know everything that was in it, but I do know that right in the middle was the largest white chocolate bunny I had ever seen. And I set my mind to the fact that I was going to get that basket for Easter. So I started working on my mother, you know, giving her subtle hints like, Mom, why don't you buy that for me for Easter? Or, Mom, you're awfully busy. You don't have really have time to put things together for me. I'm not sure what I did, but I wore the woman down. She bought it. And now I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait for Easter. Now, I know Easter is about Jesus, but as a little boy, Easter was about the bunny this year, okay? So Easter finally came. Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Can I have my basket, please? Finally, I get the basket. I open it up. I pull out the white chocolate bunny. It's even larger than I thought. I said to myself, this is going to last for days. It might even last for weeks. It's so large, the scrumptious chocolate inside. So I took it out of the package, and then I sunk my teeth in for that first delectable bite. And it collapsed. It was hollow. I'd been gypped. I thought it was going to last for days or weeks. It's going to be gone before the afternoon ends. You see, it promised so much, but it couldn't deliver. In essence, Jesus is teaching us the same thing today. Listen to what he says. He says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" In other words, what good is it if we go after all the things in this world, and we're going to discover what he's really saying is, if you find purpose, if you find meaning, if your identity is in the things of this world, they're hollow. There's nothing inside. It's empty inside. He says you've got to die to this life and die to the priorities of this world, die to the things that give you what you think are importance and meaning in this life, and take on a new life, and take on a new identity. You have to die to live. You see, Jesus is actually talking about your identity in this passage. It's not self-evident because of the English translation that's here, but he's really talking about your identity, that is, who you are. It's a fascinating passage. So let's dig into it, all right, and really get after it. So let's look at verse 35. "For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." Now, when you hear that, when you read that, and it says life, what do you think? I think of, like, breathing, life, lungs, bringing in air, pulling out, you know, pushing out CO2. I think of my heart pumping and blood. I think about biological, physical life. But in the original language of the New Testament, there's several words that we end up translating with the English word life. The word that Jesus chose here is not biological life, is not heart pumping, lungs breathing kind of existence. The word that he chose here that ended up translating life is actually psyche. And we get psychology from that. In other words, Jesus, when he talks about life here, he's not talking about your physical life, but he says the essence of who you are. The person that you are, your identity, what you look for as self-worth, how you define yourself, right? He says that is the life he's talking about. So then he goes on, though, and this is really interesting in verse 36. "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his Again, it says soul, except it's the exact same word. It's the exact same word of psyche. And forfeit your identity. Forfeit what you have self-worth in. What Jesus is doing is giving us a warning. He says, if you have your identity, if you say that your self-worth, if what defines you are the things of this world, you're going to find them to be pretty hollow. They're going to be empty inside. And there's lots of hollow identities that we have taken on through the years. So, for instance, what we identify as, what we see as our self-worth, it actually changes as we age. That should tell us that it's something which is a little bit hollow inside. So, for instance, when you're younger, so let's say middle school, junior high type age, right? If you were going to have any self-worth, there's any number of ways which you would say, if I had that, if I could do this, then I'd be worth something, right? Everything from if you were part of the popular crowd, now at least I'm somebody. Or if you had a girlfriend or a boyfriend, now I've got some worth. Or if you made the team, or if you got on the honor roll, right? All those things were important. And you say, that's my identity. I've got some self-worth because of those things. But now as an adult, as you look back, does it really matter whether you were popular or not? Whether you made the team? Whether you got 1B and all the rest A's? Right? Because it changed. Right? So we substitute other things in when we become adults. Oftentimes, we identify with what we do. So our identity comes from what we do, and oftentimes what we do for a living, right? So I'm a pastor, right? Someone say, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm a construction worker, I'm a fireman, I'm a policeman. So our identity is all wrapped up in what we do. And sometimes that carries over into retirement, does it not? Right? I used to be in banking. I used to be in real estate. Or once upon a time, I was in business, right? Because we're defining ourselves, we're finding self-worth in what we do. Other folks will define themselves by their family. They'll find self-worth by their kids. So if the kids are doing well, and they're well-behaved, and they don't get into trouble, and they're successful, well, then somehow we've got some self-worth. We must have done an okay job as a parent, right? And so our identity is wrapped up in them. Other folks, it's wealth. That they have to attain a certain amount of money, drive a certain car, have a certain kind of house, and do certain things. That if they could do that, well then, now we've made it, right? And I've got some self-worth. That's where my identity is wrapped up in that. But it always falls short. Jesus says, what good is it to gain the whole world and forfeit your psyche, your identity, your self-worth? You see, the things of this world are a moving target. Let's say that you lived the charmed life. You were popular in school. You were the captain of every team. You got straight A's. You had a stellar career. You made a boatload of money. And your kids are all healthy and wonderful and successful. And yet in each one of those, when you attained it, you wondered what's next. There must be something more, because the target's always moving. This is what Jesus is worrying about, because all of a sudden now we've lost our identity. It's a lost identity. What happens when the career ends? The kids move out. The money dries up. Now do you have no self-worth? Have you lost the essence of who you are? Is that really what you want to define you as a person? Jesus says you've got to die to the old way, die to the old concept of your identity, so that you can live to a new identity, a new and true identity. You've got to die to live. You've got to push aside and die to, frankly, what is our sinful nature, what comes naturally to us to identify with, so that we can live to a new and true identity. And he says that new identity is found in Jesus and the gospel. And did you notice that? In Jesus and the gospel. That's another fascinating thing about these couple verses here. So Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. Isn't that curious? We'd expect Jesus to say, lose your life for me, right, and find life in Jesus. But when he says, in me and the gospel's, well, what does that mean? Well, what does gospel mean? Well, we all know what gospel means, right? Good news, joyful news. Technically, that's correct. But the word gospel has a whole lot more freight to it than that, much more importance than that. So this isn't just everyday good news, all right? This is good news where you can point to a mark in history and say, hey, something important happened there, which was good news. So it's not like everyday news, like, hey, good news, it's going to be below 100 today. Hey, right? Hey, good news, you know, it's going to be a beautiful day. Good news, I've got the day off. Good news, relatives are coming to visit. All right, well, maybe not that one. But you get the idea, right? It's not just everyday good news. But this is good news that is life-altering, eternity-changing type of good news, where something has happened in history that you can pinpoint and that's changed everything for you. So, as way of an example, kind of a contemporary around here in the Greek literature was the stories about the Greeks and the Persians and the war they had with one another. Right? So the story goes that the Greeks invaded Persia, and there were three very important battles. They won all three battles. When they had won the final battle, they sent out, get this, evangelists, right, bearers of gospel news, with a message. And the message to the people was this: we have fought for you, we have won, your status has been changed, you are no longer slaves, but free. Now that's not just everyday good news. That's not just ordinary good news. That means there's a point in history where everything changed for these people. They came in, they fought for them, they won for them, and now they're no longer slaves, but they are free. So now we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the gospel of Jesus Christ says this: someone fought for you, they won, and your status is forever changed. Someone fought for you, he won, and your status is forever changed. Your identity is in the gospel. It's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus fought for you on Good Friday. He won and declared his victory on Sunday. And your status with God is forever changed because you are no longer slaves to sin, but you're forgiven children of God. That's the gospel news. Now, it gets even better than that and more interesting. Let's go over to the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is speaking again. He says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What do you think Jesus chose for the word for life in that instance? Psyche. Came to give up my life as a ransom, to give up my psyche as a ransom for many. Jesus not only will give up his physical life, but he will empty himself for you. He will give up his identity and take on your sinful identity. He'll pay the price and the debt of our sin and thus change our status with our Father in heaven forever. That's gospel news. That's good news. Now you want to talk about your self-worth. How much are you worth to God? Priceless. Priceless. He gave up everything for you. Your identity? Your identity is a child of God. Everything else pales in comparison. I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a pastor, I'm a construction worker. I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm a student, I'm popular. What does that matter? They all pass away. But I'm a forgiven child of God. That he placed that much worth in me. Now that's identity. That's self-worth. And that's why Jesus says, don't be fooled by the bunny. Don't go after the things of this world that promise so much but can't deliver. You've got to die to live, to find a new identity, a true identity, which is found in Jesus and the gospel. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we don't deserve your love. We can't earn your love, but you don't operate that way. You just pour out your love to us, and you place great value on us. May we now find our identity and our worth in your Son Jesus and all he has done for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.